First Baptist Church of Redmond, April 24th, 2022, John chapter 5, A Fresh Start.
Please rise and join me in reading John 5, 8 through 9a. Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. You may be seated.
I'm using the same sermon title I used last Sunday, A Fresh Start, but A Fresh Start Part 2, because I wanted to transition to this passage and discuss and explain the grace of God that was shown to the man who was unnamed. You've heard of Scott Baio. What is he famous for? Actor. What did he act with? He's been, he's been in different shows. He's most famous for Happy Days. When he was 55, the actor announced that his wife Renee was battling melanoma brain tumors. Wow, it's serious. He told news outlets that, "I will tell you, my faith in God is greater than the fear of unknown." But then Justin Bieber made a surprise announcement. He shook things up with his explicit declaration of faith in Christ. You don't know who to believe. In a recent interview, the pop singer heartthrob Justin Bieber said, "I think that people, as soon as they start hearing me saying I'm a Christian, they're like, 'Whoa, Justin, back up, take a step back. I just want to honestly live like Jesus. Not to be Jesus, I could never. I don't want to come across weird.' If you believe it, he died for our sins." I give him credit. "Sometimes when I don't feel like doing something, but I know it's right, I remember, I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross and dying so that we don't have to feel like we should feel. What Jesus did when he came to the cross was basically saying, you don't have to feel any of that stuff. We could take out all our insecurities. We could take away all of our hurt, all of the pain, all of the fear, all of the trauma. That doesn't need to be there. So all this healing you're trying to do, it's unnecessary. We have the greatest healer of all, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he really heals." I don't know what they're like. I don't know what their testimony really is. I don't know how they live because I don't see them. But they're on the right track. They're saying the right things. We'll begin John chapter 5. I'll be going over verses 1 through 9, and I'll continue the series John chapter 5 in the upcoming weeks. The first verse. "After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem." After these things does not necessarily indicate a long time. It is, however, distinguished from the phrase "after this," which is found in a lot of chapters in John. And in all these passages refers to events that occurred shortly afterwards. So after these things means it could take a while, but after this is distinguished because immediately afterwards. We do know that there was a feast of the Jews. The Jews had three feasts that every male was required to attend. Passover, Pentecost, or Tabernacles. Which feast does the author refer to? I don't know. But I have a guess, and I'm not sure, but I have a guess. I think it's Passover. Arguments for Passover is another Christian writer writing in the second century said it was Passover. This was the only feast to which all the Israelites were required to attend. However, the evidence is not entirely conclusive. Nothing is said in this entire chapter with reference to his disciples. His disciples might have been there. There might not have been there, but it's unusual that they're not spoken of. So we only center on Jesus and what he did. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, and I've got a drawing there. In Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool which in Hebrew is called Bethesda, having five porticos. Not far from the Sheep Gate, probably because this because the sheep were led to be sacrificed through that gate. Popularly, this is known as Bethesda, meaning House of Mercy. It has a another name, Bethzatha, from the Aramaic language. House of the Olive Tree has better textual support, but you can study it for yourself. In these porticos lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, limping, or paralyzed. Porticos were covered areas where the infirm, the sick, the unfortunate could lay on under a covering. I couldn't determine whether it was a tent-like structure or a permanent structure. I don't know. But anyway, they were good to provide the sick with covered areas. Apparently, the sick man who Jesus cured was one of these. It is worthy of note that not only cripples and paralytics, but also blind people sought healing at this pool. The question is, did any healing actually occur? It had a reputation for healing waters, but I don't think any healing actually occurred. Why? The Bible I have does not include verse 4. Verse 4 is an explanation that was added later, I feel, waiting for the moving of the water. Let me explain. None of the best and most ancient manuscripts have these words, which accordingly are not in the Bible version I use, New American Standard 2020. On the other hand, Tertullian, another old preacher and Christian writer, he lived from 145 to 220 AD, already knows this passage. I think it was legendary and mythic. The following, it would seem, is a reasonable position with respect to the entire story and particularly to the words that are omitted in the best ancient manuscripts. On the basis of the text, it is found in the best manuscripts and there is no necessity to believe that the agitation that occurred in the water was actually due to a supernatural cause. I think that it was fed by an underground spring. And there was a legend that was present when the spring would bubble. It didn't bubble all the time, but when the spring would bubble up, there was a legend that said, oh, there's an angel nearby. So they used to scramble, every man for himself, to get in the water and hope for a miracle. However, the miracle which occurs here when the sick man is cured is ascribed not to any medicinal value in the particular pool, nor to any angelic activity, but to the power and love of Jesus Christ. Now, a man was there who had been ill for 38 years. Jesus, upon seeing this man lying there and knowing that he had already been in that condition for a long time, said, do you want to get well? It was not a stupid question that Jesus asked. He found a man and asked, do you want to be well? This, of course, does not mean that he had been there at this pool for that length of time, 38 years. Jesus saw this man undoubtedly. He looked upon him with an eye of sympathy, probing his very soul. In all probability, these words were spoken in order to bring him to an open acknowledgement of his deep misery and his inability to deliver himself from it. He couldn't do anything about his inability to walk. The sick man answered him with the myth, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Again, there was a common myth that when the pool of Bethesda would bubble up, the first to enter in the pool would be subject to being healed. I know many people go to Fatima or Lourdes or other things, but it's a similar myth. Sir, it seems that the rule at this pool was everyone for himself. God does not work that way. God would not want, I don't think God would want them to fight or struggle or win a contest to be healed. It would seem that the sudden stirring up was caused by an intermittent spring filling the pool. When the sick man complained in utter hopelessness, did the light of sympathy and encouragement that was shining in the eyes of the Lord revive hope? Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your pallet, and walk. I understand why it's translated pallet, but you should think of it as a sleeping bag or a mat. It was commonly covering the individual. It could be a blanket that would be big, but it was something else used to get the one that was laying there off the ground, and he could wrap himself up at night when it was cold. What a challenge this was to a man who had just now confessed his own complete inability to do anything about his situation. The man was told to pick this up and to start walking. Wow. Immediately, Jesus usually healed this way. Immediately, the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now, it was a Sabbath on that day. Immediately, even though I think he was paralyzed. He could not walk. He obeyed and was healed all at once. John wishes to place special stress on the sudden and complete character of the cure. Once more, the glory of God stands revealed. This recovery is neither gradual or partial. I have a comment. All so-called faith healers should make a close study of this wonderful account. Picked up his pallet and began to walk. At the word of Jesus, new strength and vigor surged through this man's whole body. But there was a conflict. The day on which Jesus healed was on a Sabbath. So a controversy developed between Jesus and the Jews. The Pharisees had superimposed upon the law. It was not written in the law. They had additional rules superimposed upon the law of God, their own hair-splitting distinctions and rabbinical restrictions. The Pharisees had made a limit of, I think it was just over 1,000 yards you could walk on the Sabbath. They codified it. They told you how far you could walk. This was true particularly with reference to the Sabbath. Instead of looking at it of a day of special consecration to works of gratitude for the salvation which God had given, they viewed it as a day of cessation from all work with the view of the salvation which man must merit. They practiced a meritocracy. You had to become, quote-unquote, good enough because God surely would let you in. For them, the Sabbath meant idleness. But for Christ, it meant work. Later, Jesus would say, Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Nevertheless, for them, it constituted hardship. There were many rules to follow, many restrictions. For him, he found rest because he obeyed his Father. As they saw it, man was made for the Sabbath. As he knew it, the Sabbath was made for man. Jesus said that for us. It was on the Sabbath that Jesus said to the sick man, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. You shouldn't think of it as a wooden pallet. Think of it as a bag to roll. The man obeyed and instantly, the stress is on instantly, received complete physical recovery. But when the Jewish authorities saw the man carrying his mat on the Sabbath in obedience to Christ's command, they criticized both him and his benefactor, Jesus. I want to tell you a true story. The Pharisaic legalism pictured in the parable of the Good Samaritan and the true story in John 5 is alive and well. As a result, 15-year-old African-American boy in Chicago is not alive. One warm spring evening in May of 1998, the young man was named Christopher Searcy. Christopher Searcy was playing basketball with a few friends half a block from Ravenswood Hospital. Three teenage Latino gang members looking for a black target approached and shot young Searcy in the abdomen. His frantic friends carried him to within 30 feet of the hospital and ran inside for help. The emergency room personnel refused to go outside to assist the dying boy, citing a policy that only allows them to help those who are already inside the hospital. The boys called for a nearby police officer to attend to their wounded friend. When the officers arrived on the scene, they proceeded to call for an ambulance to take him 30 feet, but refused to carry the boy inside. Where passerbys pled with the officers to get the boy into the hospital because they could move him. They were afraid he would die. He lay in a pool of blood, unconscious. When after several minutes, the ambulance had not arrived to take him the 30 feet to the hospital, the police gave in and carried Searcy into the emergency room. By then, nothing could be done to save his life. As is often true, when we legalistically insist on the letter of the law, the needs of others are overlooked. By holding to standard operating procedures, the quote-unquote royal law of love was pinned to that mat. Initially, the hospital administration vehemently defended their emergency room's lack of involvement. Only after a barrage of community outrage did Ravenwood Hospital reverse its policy of treating only those who are inside the doors. It was Jesus who observed, quote, from Matthew 23:23, "Woe to you teachers of the law, you hypocrites, you give a tenth, but you have neglected the more important matters of law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness."